You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome. Join our regular team and maybe a few special guests as they give you the lowdown on movies, TV shows, games, or just whatever they want to talk about. It's the best of geek from week to week, live on Twitch and direct in your ears via the podcast.
Hey, I was just touching base to see when you think you might be coming back. You know, I'm just worried that you're not going to find your stride here if you keep going off-world all the time, Kara. I'm worried you're not going to find your people.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, Clark. I have no people. Home is wherever you are, buddy. As I walk this land of road, Crypto and I at least had each other. Honestly, I thought we were lucky. But luck, almost by definition, runs out. What can I do?
The Brickens carry the antidote on that person. He has 3 days.
You cannot give up on me.
It's the Creme of the Yellow Hills. Murdered my innocent family.
Just do what I say. And don't die. This does not look like this is gonna end well for you guys.
Stop. You're hurting my head.
Revenge. It won't take your pain away.
Your eyes are beautiful when you cry. A lot of pain, huh? A lot of suffering.
There is no home without you, buddy.
Aren't you the dits from that dive bar?
Funny. That's what I've been calling you.
Touché.
Welcome to the Purity Table of Awesome. My name is Dion, and I am joined by Quinny Joe and Peter. She returns.
Peter is back. Supergirl.
Yay. You know, I can't actually hear that without having childhood flashbacks to the movie world, to the movie world studio tour.
Right.
And hang on, the specifically the Superman takeoff, Superman escape ride, or?
No, I was too small for Superman rides, but there was a movie tour and that song was played at the beginning. And then also there were big studios with a blue screen demonstration and somebody got to be Superman.
Right.
Audience, right. Not me.
Oh, were you ever the super person?
No, uh-huh. I don't like being the center of attention. No. But, you know, being good 90s families, we recorded it all on the camcorder so I could watch it back multiple times.
Excellent.
Live vicariously through the other children.
Through the stranger. Through the stranger from the audience.
Excellent. You've
lived
your best
Peter
life.
Law unlocked.
Yeah. Fantastic. She goes away for a few weeks, come back, drops some law, and then she's like, I'm out.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to disappear again for another couple of months. Yeah,
that's
her.
That's Peter's review of Supergirl. Anyway.
Peter is Supergirl.
Peter is Supergirl?
I mean, I had the opportunity. I guess I turned it down.
Oh.
Well, there's a possibility that the chat's saying that there's still some people not getting audio.
Oh, that does seem to be a small amount of problem. What I'm going to do
is actually just go to a bit of technical difficulties. Give me one second. Right. They're going to hear it. They can hear us right now.
We're back.
Our faces aren't back. Anyway, we're going to come back now. Face back now?
Right, okay.
All right. Does that actually help for people? Is everyone happy with that now?
Yeah.
Yay. Win.
Yay. I do love it. Predakenga's like, did you love the Foley bit?
That was the next studio along after the blue screen bit.
Right.
The blue screen bit and the thing. Anyway, it's a fantastic story. Anyone in the chat or who is just joining us live, you can come back and listen to the podcast. You're going to get all of that story, but we're going to move on.
Get pretty some deep Peter lore.
Yeah, you're going to get some Peter lore, an extra tidbit on the podcast that you won't get here. And now, what are we doing this week?
Supergirl.
Thank you.
Hang on. I realized that, you know, there's two women in this chat and the dude said it. So, ladies.
Hey, very much like the movie. The dudes said it.
Yep. This fraggin' bastard is the one that said it.
Quitty is misogyny now.
Oh, damn.
It. I mean, and it fits so well.
Like the women in the movie, we're just here.
Ouch. Oh, dear. So here we are, the second introduction into the James Gunn DC universe. Second cinematic.
Sure, and we're off to a middling start.
Well, yeah. I mean, technically, I think his stuff really started back with The Suicide Squad. But and then there's Peacemaker, and then there's the Creature Commandos. But yeah, it's all very confusing.
Well, this is the official Gunniverse. Is that what they're calling it now? The official Gunniverse, because this is his second. It's under his banner. Like, he didn't have too much to do with this one apart from greenlining it and saying
and supposedly saying yes to the script, which
interesting take.
Yes, I mean so. The one thing I do want to say before we go too much further about this, there is a lot of discussion online about the critical reaction to this film being Supergirl. And much like many critical reactions to films that are led by women, especially in the superhero genre, there is a kind of take on it that if you don't like this film, then you are being misogynistic. If you don't like this film, then it's because you hate Millie Alcock. It's because you think that women superheroes can't lead films. I've literally seen quite a lot of discussion and a lot of stuff that is basically anyone who's shitting on this film is shitting on women and specifically female-led superheroes.
But
and I really...
where is this coming from and who is this coming from? Is this coming from other women or is it coming from execs saying, go and spend money and watch our movie?
Well, I mean, I look on threads and mostly that's just a whole bunch of normal ass people. But like there are a lot of people who are, you know, very passionately flying the flag for this one. Including people like Gail Simone and, you know, people who are in industry who are very passionate about this kind of stuff.
I mean, I love Gail, but she's also capable of writing stinkers and has done so in the past. Like, yes, she is a great writer, but she has written dog shit at times. But, like, the funny thing is when we had the Captain Marvel movie and men were getting on Rotten Tomatoes and purposefully tanking reviews... and then the same thing with like,
Madam Web.
No, She-Hulk television series and stuff like that. I mean, there were instances where the product was good, but people were purposefully dissing it because they were being misogynistic. But
and
then there were times when the product was not great. And so now we're not allowed to critique it if it isn't good just because it's female led. Like that's not feminism.
No. And I think like the reason I bring it up is because I really want to like frame our discussion about this with a clear understanding that like I think I can safely say Dion and I both very much identify as being feminist. We are progressive. We are woke, whatever the fuck you want to say. We're all about women-led films and things like that. So anything that we're saying here is not coming from a thing of hating women or thinking that they're incapable of leading a film or being, you know, as good a superhero story as anyone else can be. I really want to frame all of our discussion around that because I think it's very easy to dismiss criticism.
Oh, 100%. And I feel like that's where this early, like, antagonism around criticism is kind of coming from. Like, I'm sorry, but if you're going to put some work out there, you're putting it out there to be critiqued, you have to take the good with the bad, and you can't say it's exempt from criticism because feminism.
No.
It's like, if you hate on something, then you're anti-feminist, you're misogynist. I'm like,
Now
you don't get a pass just because you're female.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think also we have to be mindful when we are critiquing things that sometimes things that are female-led get held up against different standards to things that aren't. So the critique hits differently.
Yeah.
And I think in this case, I'm going to attempt to hold it to the same standard as I held to the Superman movie, which I can see some, you know, similarities and some things that I liked and didn't like and some differences and some things that I liked and didn't like. But I think that's probably something to be aware of, that things with female leads sometimes do get held to different standards.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly in a critique, these are the kinds of things like it's a difference between review bombing and critiquing something. Yeah. And if you're looking at critique, you should, you know, look at the substance of the critique. And then everybody has an opportunity to decide whether or not they agree with said critique, because a lot of the things we're talking about are subjective.
And I think a lot of it also comes back to intent. Like, if the intent of the criticism is to damage the film or to, you know, minimize women, that's one thing. If the intent of the criticism is to say this could have been a better film, or, you know, we would like to see this done better or whatever, then yeah. But that's also very hard to do when it's just a numerical score and somebody goes, oh, that's a fucking low score, or whatever. Bearing, so all of that said,
bearing that in mind as a preamble, what's Supergirl all about? Now, like, while Quinny thinks about that and pulls up his synopsis, does anyone have a good suggestion? Pete, do you have a good suggestion for the accent? Which accent should Quinny be doing this one in?
Kryptonian, clearly.
Kryptonian. Crypto accent. Exactly. And which cryptocurrency do you want to add?
Dogecoin. Yeah, I want it in Doge.
Of course.
Okay. Buy low, sell high.
Yes.
I don't know. Like, although, Quinny, if you can come out with a Kryptonian accent,
God, I don't know. Like, is this the first time that they've attempted to do long scenes in full Kryptonian?
I think so.
I can't remember whether they did that in Man of Steel or not.
No, there was the recording of his dad speaking Kryptonian. Remember, that had to be deciphered, but they didn't have. Remember, as we find out, you know, Cal didn't bother learning Kryptonian, so he doesn't know what it sounds like. So he's like, ah, fuck.
Wait, I know. The very famous Jor-El. Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe.
Give us a bit of Rusty.
I thought you were going Marlon Brando. No. I was ready for Brando.
No, it's the best Jor-El, obviously.
That's kind of together because, you know, she's fighting around the universe.
Kicking ass and taking names and fighting around the galaxy.
I mean, Millie's an Aussie as well.
Right, huh?
Yeah. All right, do I have some music?
Do I have music?
No, I just have a trombone. Whoopsie.
This Perfect. Is Peter just looking at us going, why the fuck did I come back?
What was his band called?
30-odd foot of grunt.
Oh, toe fog.
I was trying to think, I was like 6 feet deep. I'm like, no. We only wish.
There is some music now. Sorry, after that weird trombone, because I didn't move the thing over. Just go. Carry on.
Right.
Kara Zor-El, father to a murdered son. No, oh, sorry. AKA Supergirl, joins forces with an unlikely companion on an interstellar journey of vengeance and justice when an unexpected adversary strikes too close to home. My name is Maximus. Maximus Aurelius. No, I'm going to stop. I'm sorry. Sorry. That was a pretty shit Russell Crowe. Yeah. It was a worse Marlon Brando, let me tell you.
Yeah. No, my son. There are good people they wish to be. They just need the light to lead the way.
Oh, Jesus. No, we don't need that. Okay, excellent.
Okay,
fantastic.
Right, there you go.
Supergirl. We got to see Supergirl last week. That was great.
We did. You saw it at the IMAX.
Saw Tim Minchin.
You did. You saw it at the IMAX. I saw it at the VMAX in Devonport.
Hey!
Oh, Quiddy, that's just like
CMAX.
That's just like coming home for you, isn't it?
It was.
The CMAX Devonport and watching Supergirl. You're like, am I in 1984 again?
Pretty much. It was a very happy thing going back to the cinema where I've watched Lord of the Rings 1, 2, and 3.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Like on every fucking New Year's Day for those 3 years in a row, climbing the overly steep stairs to the very strongly smelling cinemas of Devonport.
Good clarification. But we didn't talk about that. We're talking about the slightly strange smelling movie that is Millie Alcock getting pissed and being a total trash bag. Because that's where the movie opens. That's how we get our Supergirl. We met our Supergirl in the Superman movie there right at the end where...
And she was also drunk.
Yeah. She was kind of... But shouldn't she... Like, okay, quick question here.
Mm.
She'd returned to Earth and she was still drunk. Okay, because she'd been out and she'd gotten drunk. Except in the movie, they have those plot points where it's like, oh, it's mysteriously, as soon as a little ray of light touches her, she's healed. Like, everything is normalized. It's like, okay, so was she putting it on? Anyway, that's nitpicky and maybe a bit too much. And it's not about the Supergirl movie.
A lot of nitpicky stuff in this movie. Some of them being, like, actual physics. And the fact that I witness what I believe to be a sun rotating around a planet, which could be argued, but I would argue strongly back.
Which color sun was that?
I tried to give that one the benefit of the doubt. But here's the thing. This is one of the things that the exact same thing annoyed me in the Superman movie. Like, you know, you are allowed to hold fantasy things to a standard. You set up the rules for a world, and then within those rules, everything still has to, you know, obey the laws of physics. And they did not in the Superman movie, and they did not in this movie. And I would say that I'm at an enjoyment advantage here because of my lack of knowledge of the way this universe is supposed to work.
Okay.
There were some weird things happening with, like, Kryptonian and how that was working, which felt unlike other journeys into this world that I have had. But because of my lack of care about the world, I was able to wibbly wobbly timey wimey that stuff away.
Okay. No. Is there anything we can clarify for you?
I mean, how has Kryptonian worked in the past, and how is it different to how it has worked here in a non-spoilery way?
What do you mean, Kryptonian? Are you saying
the language or the...
Oh,
Krypton is the planet.
Kryptonian, the green stuff that makes...
Kryptonite.
See, this is how bad I am at this universe. How is Kryptonite supposed to work? I mean, I've seen lots of the things. I just haven't cared that much to really track, you know, how it's worked in the past. But it seemed like it was working a bit differently here.
I actually, that was one of the elements I quite liked the whole idea that so they've removed Argo City from Krypton with a big, you know, essentially a big scoop, flung it out into the galaxy, and the people of Krypton are slowly dying. So people of Argo City, sorry, are slowly dying because they've unearthed a whole bunch of radioactive isotopes in their soil. That, of course, being kryptonite. But we didn't actually see it anywhere, did we? We didn't see big crystals of green glowing.
No. We saw green attack with some kryptonite blood
towards the end. Yeah. There was a green sun.
Which
I don't think it's just anything that green.
No, because otherwise Green Lantern would be fucking kicking the shit out of Superman. That's right.
Right? Yeah.
Wait a second. Like, he also landed on a planet that is mostly green.
Like, yes.
Yeah,
it's strange. We're not going to go into these nitpicky things. We're going to focus more back on this.
Okay, big picture.
Of course we are.
Well, okay. Spoiler section is for nitpickies.
Yeah, right.
Big picture. I was bored.
Snooze fest.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
You got snoozed.
So I wanted to like the film.
Same.
Like, very, very excited about it. Wanted to go in with all my heart open to embrace this. I really like Superman, like the first one. I know it's okay. Twee and it's kind of a little bit cartoony and stuff, but I enjoy its kind of innocence. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, yeah, give me more of that James Gunn DC universe. I took my sister-in-law along with me. And I ended up being like, oh, I'm sorry, I kind of have to apologize. Like, you know, it was way, way too sci-fi for what she was expecting. She was thinking it was going to be more Earth-based.
Okay.
You know, so there's a lot of very colorful aliens and shit mm-hmm. like that. And there's a lot of stuff that she was like, I don't know what's going on. But also on top of that, it was kind of tedious. It never takes flight.
Yeah.
I mean, it has a storyline that I've seen about a million times in anything else.
It's called the Hero's Journey.
Yeah, my family was slaughtered and now I need to go and kill the person responsible.
As in Ruthie's story or
Yeah.
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 I mean, it's a good mixture of, you know, that and look, you come after my dog, I come after you.
John Wick.
I mean,
oh yeah, yeah.
Look, let's pay attention to where the film is taking all of its things from. It isn't based on the 1984 Supergirl movie of the same name. It doesn't go through all of those things. It's based on the Supergirl Woman of Tomorrow comic series written by Tom King, CIA operative, and drawn by Bilquis Evely. Not quite sure on that one, and that's where the majority of the storyline is coming from. And it is a kind of a one-shot, so graphic, like story. It isn't really crossed over a lot of things, so it does kind of feel like that kind of hero journey, plug and play, kind of thing. But the film one, slightly different to the comic book, mainly because you get more, and things are slightly different, and some of the characters look a bit different. And that can be okay, but also a bit weird.
Okay. So they had a color by numbers and they went off script, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I kind of go, they had a real strong comic to base it off and they could have just pulled a Watchmen, if you worry about it, and just gone like, the comic's quite good. We could just do that.
Yeah.
And for some reason they've decided,
How about with our fledgling script writer? We just go completely off base and do whatever the fuck we want.
Yeah, look, shout out for trying to get a different representation and more ideas through something, hiring someone who comes from a theatrical background, hasn't particularly written a lot of movies but is going to write one anyway, and then also shoehorn in a few different things and maybe change some pretty significant plot points from the comic to make it.
But also, I mean, there are more steps to the writing process than just one script writer.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
you know, like it's, yeah, it's not just like one person has vomited out a script and you know, nobody's done anything to it and they've made a movie.
No, there's multiple people to blame in this instance.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And I mean, one of the things that...
Unfortunately, the person that's got their name on it is the one that's going to cop it.
Yes. They're going to cop an amount of it, but also there is a fair amount that has to be leveled at James Gunn, because one of the things that he said very early on in his whole tenure was, if the script isn't right, we're not making the film. Like, that was a very clear, intentional statement that he made about not releasing things with half-assed scripts. Okay. And then you get this and you're like, are you though? we actually had some feedback, or actually a pre-review of this by one of our listeners. And the reason I bring it up now is because he is also somebody who has read the comic and made a bit of comparison about it. So this is from Curfia, C-U-R-F-E-A. Said, I previously read the comic. I can see why they did the changes, emphasizing Kara over Ruthie. That makes sense. They aren't assuming as much familiarity with Supergirl as her cousin in the first movie, which was more like a third movie of Superman. And he said, I used to collect Lobo as a teen, and he's a character for a particular type of teen. His inclusion wasn't too intrusive or distracting, so it's an okay cameo. I would disagree with that. And there's a whole thing about Superman, Supergirl not aging, and when she lands, like, she's at a different age and stuff like that, in the comic that isn't in the film. But if you look at the comic, it's such a different vibe. It's very much like John Carter of Mars. Like, it's fantasy in space. And this ain't that. Like, my biggest criticism would be that it feels an awful lot like somebody really liked the look and feel of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Yeah, got big vibes of that one.
Yeah.
I mean,
and I like Guardians of the Galaxy, but I don't need all of my DC universe or whatever to
I don't
like
need
it.
Every space movie to be Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that kind of big vibes on that kind of idea in this whole Supergirl thing. I was like, oh, cool, funky music, bit self-destructive, actually got a heart of gold. I was like, well, kind of this sort of thing has been played out a little bit. And while there are bigger things at play, I also don't understand exactly where we're sitting now with this whole DC Universe Gods and Monsters block. So, you know, they're doing a set of phases. So DC's got this thing now. Yeah, I know, right? It's called, fuck. I didn't come up with this. This is just what I know. Chapter one, it's called Chapter One, Gods and Monsters. And that's going to include, that was the Superman film, the Supergirl film, Clayface, Man of Tomorrow, Brave and the Bold, which is interesting, Swamp Thing, and an untitled Wonder Woman film.
Okay.
Now,
but all of this is also
a lot of movies.
It is, and it's also completely in flux because, you know, there's a lot of shit that has been kind of talked about for the DC films that has then gone away because somebody said the script's not right or whatever. Also, I can see Peter is about to pass out from boredom talking about the DC universe. We probably should talk more about this film and a little less about the universe that it exists in.
I mean, the nice thing about going into something like this is not really having any skin in the game is that you can just kind of go in hoping to be entertained with quite low expectations, and that does affect one's experience of the thing. And there were things that I liked.
Tell me what they were.
I liked Millie Alcock. Like, I liked the energy. I liked both of the leads. I thought that they were like, I thought she was like really watchable. I enjoyed those performances. I didn't mind the look of it because I suppose going into a Superman movie, my brain is kind of set for Metropolis and a certain kind of palette, and it was a different palette to the low expectations that my brain had. So, you know, I thought it looked good. Like, it's a nice looking film. I liked that. Yeah, it was a hero's journey. Like, it had all of the things that you're supposed to do in a hero's journey, like, create situations that seem to be the worst possible thing that can happen, and then, how did the characters get out of it? And that happened a few times. I liked that they were trying to say something, very much like the Superman movie was. And again, I'm trying to level it with my
Superman,
experience of the Superman film, which I don't remember what rating I gave it, but I do remember my reaction, which was kind of like, well, that wasn't perfect. But it was fun, and I liked that it was trying to say something. And I had a lot of nits, but I tried to let them go. And there was a lot about this movie that was like that for me. A lot about it. Like, well, that's not perfect, but it's fun, and I like that they at least trying to kind of go beneath the surface with what's going on with these characters, with the ideas around trauma and overcoming trauma and what that means. There were probably more elements about this that shit me off enough to knock my enjoyment levels down beneath what kind of happened watching the Superman film. And you probably know which things they were specifically. And at one point, I'm like, well, this is fine as long as he doesn't rescue anyone.
Peter, your review, your rating for Superman was 70%.
Well, there you are. I mean, my ratings are fickle and changeable. Well, the other thing is, I haven't seen a movie. I've been working like 60 something hours a week, and I haven't seen a movie for a long time. So I was like, I'm out of the house. This is amazing. So all of
I'm
those
just
things.
happy to be here.
You're kind of in
I don't
the
care enough about this character to have an emotional investment in this. Yay!
You're in the perfect frame of mind to go in. I'm like, movie time,
Movie time,
yay!
popcorn,
Yay!
drinks.
Friends.
But even in that frame of mind, okay, yeah, there were some things that like shit me off a little bit, but also I'm too tired to be too mad about them. Whereas other reviews, these kinds of things would have set me onto a rant. In this situation, I was just kind of like, oh, that was disappointing. I'm sleepy.
I mean, a lot of what you said is true and accurate. Like, I think the girls gave great performances. I think they had really good chemistry together, and I think their dynamic in the story worked.
There was a little bit of
Unfortunately,
confusing inconsistency about Ruthie's capabilities.
Sure.
But aside from that,
That's a nit. But I mean, I think the biggest problem was that their voices were so undermined by every single man that they were surrounded by. And they didn't get to shine. This is supposed to be Supergirl's story. And yet, at every point, there is a man that's kind of stepping in and saying, oh, well, let me take over from here, or let me tell my part of the story now.
And like, I feel
And
like the big bad involving things like trafficking young girls and that kind of thing, like, oh, it's a female superhero, therefore we need to have a big, women's issue and make it like it's a little on the nose and a little like, well, our female superheroes have
a
to deal
little
with girl
very on the
problems.
nose. Yeah. I mean, if one of them got their fucking period on the trip, then like I probably would have walked out. Like, I mean, how many other women's problems could we have had in this film? I really don't believe that the inclusion of Lobo did anything to make this film better. And I really think Jason Momoa should just stayed away from this film.
Look, I don't have a problem with him as Lobo.
No, I mean,
I
do
think
a
he's
fucking
fine as that.
quirky, weird, standalone movie with him. Do your rip-off Guardians of the Galaxy with him. He can go to
Yes.
all of the weird worlds and have the needle drops and do all that fun stuff.
That's fucking perfect for Lobo.
Yeah, it's exactly Lobo. But like, if we want to have like a serious girls problem, let's solve it with the intergalactic girls trip and save my dog, then can we fuck off all of the guys from like trying to take over?
There, like I was watching the big battle sequence that it is, you know, basically your big kind of third act explosive fest. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of like, oh man, the fucking sidelining that's happening here is just criminal.
You know what's even more frustrating? They didn't even ask for his help. He just inserted himself. And that is so typical of a man to do.
He did, like, it just felt very strange watching. Like, I mean, it was lovely to see. It's like, oh, finally, Jason Momoa is playing a character from comics he likes and wants to play. And but the whole time, every time he opened his mouth, I was like, what the fuck did he just say? Like, I didn't understand what he said. And then if you're supposed to be over the, like, you know, Lobo is supposed to be an over-the-top, ridiculous character who gets into it. It was the wrong kind of film, because this is a bloodless film. Lobo is not a bloodless character. Lobo was created as, you know, introduced into the DC universe as a parody, as a ridiculousness to throw in there to do fun and be stupid and appeal, as you said earlier, Quinny, to 11 and 12-year-old boys who was like,
a certain kind of teenager.
Motorcycles and chains and smoking and swearing and like that was the kind of thing. And to put him into Supergirl, especially when you're talking about a film that is based on something that is, you know, sex trafficking and, you know, finding your place in the world and what's the idea of revenge and all these kinds of things that they're trying to talk about. And to put him in there, you're like, why?
Mm.
Why is he even there? It doesn't actually add anything. Does it, like, he doesn't really continue to move the plot forward. At one point, isn't there, there's a bit where he's just sitting there watching Supergirl work and he's like, ha ha, and then turns around and rides off on his motorcycle. It's like, what was that for?
Yeah.
There was even a bit where I could have sworn, and I'm pretty sure I just heard it wrong. He says, and I'm almost, I think the line is, nice work, Ditz, D-I-T-Z, as in ditzy, because there's been a backward and forward over that. But it sounded for all the world like, nice work, tits. And I was like, wow, what the fuck?
Yeah. Ha ha. Because he's Lobo, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where's the air horn? Beep, beep, beep.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, there's a part of me that I enjoy the idea that, you know, because you were in a broader DC universe, you can be in a bar and go, oh, fuck, hang on, Lobo's just walked in. This means things are bad because he is a very dangerous person to be around. But not in this film. Like, no. He didn't have to come in and kind of man stink up the corner and, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, you know.
So somebody's asking, is Lobo even necessary? Can the story work without him? 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, it probably would have been better without him.
Could have been more interesting. I mean, look, the fun things about the film is that, look, it's in space. It's opening up to an idea of a cosmic sort of thing. I mean, this is what we're talking about. Two Kryptonians from a foreign planet, you know, come here living on Earth. You know, Kal-El's very much happy to be absorbed into the Earth life, and, you know, Supergirl ain't. Maybe she wants to find her own way in the universe. And that's kind of the fun thing. And also, she's young. She's doing fun things.
She's also celebrating dealing with tons of trauma.
Dealing with trauma, you know, trying to, you know, gets roped into something because, yeah, someone shot a dog. Never shoot the dog. That's all you got to remember. So, like, it is kind of set up for a lot of fun. It's very colorful, which I liked. You know, it's no longer any of this kind of dark and gritty and dangerous kind of attitude toward, like, and she has fun. And I think, you know, Millie Alcock, Supergirl, is good. The dog, still not sold on.
Well, he was sidelined for 3/4 of the fucking movie.
I know, you know, they fridged the dog this time around.
They're like, oh, we can't afford the CG, guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nix the dog.
They didn't fridge Martha, they fridged Crypto.
But also, like, they sidelined fucking Supergirl out of, like, a fairly sizable chunk of the, what, end of Act 2 into Act 3?
Well, I was like, I mean, kind of, but the logic bomb there was just dumb as fuck. Which we'll get into. Yeah. We could get into that a bit later. Yeah. Was there any, what fun things? Did anyone have any other fun things about it? Did you like, do you think she flew right? They fixed the cross-eyed flying
thing that Corinne Sweat had.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like there were more opportunities to have deeper emotional moments. We kind of got, teasers of, deep emotional stuff, but I don't feel like we really quite got there.
Was there
I
a...
would have loved to have shed a tear in the moment when Kara did, but I just was like, wow, I'm just kind of really not in the moment with you, babe, because there's too much other shit going on that's really distracting.
Was there a moment where Ruthie cried and grieved her family? I know she had to bury them, which was sad.
I don't think we even saw her do that.
No, but I mean, that was one of the things I was a little bit like strange. Her
She's
family
very
has been murdered.
stoic for
And then
the
she's
whole
just basically
movie.
like, all right, now I'm off to avenge
Yeah,
my
she never really
family.
got to have
Like,
like a
oh,
catharsis.
no.
Like towards the end.
I really did feel like that whole killing and stuff at the start, you know, it sets up with bad guy shows up, kills family. I really didn't feel like that had enough emotional heft. Like, you know, somebody's brother gets killed and you're like, and then parents, everybody killed, and you're like, okay, I can see that she is being stoic, but
Yeah, next
I
minute
didn't.
they're buried and I'm off.
I was really underwhelmed by the emotional arc of it. And the other thing that I struggled with a little bit is like, I think, you know, in moments of big action or whatever, you expect the music to do an amount of the work on that. They're like, you know, the James Gunn films are often, you know, talked about for their needle drops and stuff like that. There were some extraordinarily unmemorable,
I couldn't
unexciting.
name one song that I remember from the movie.
There was one where they did like an alternate version of a fairly well-known song. I can't remember what the song was.
Oh, wait. Yeah.
And
And that was towards the end as well.
like all through the advertising they'd been using Call Me,
Oh, yeah.
and I was kind of like I expected something that had a little bit more emotional oomph. I mean,
Yeah.
also it was really fucking quiet in my cinema, which didn't help, but it just,
Yeah,
yeah,
if you're
like
going to put Blondie in the trailer, like, have it a bit more femme rock throughout the rest of the movie.
It just
Yeah.
felt very held back, like it wasn't doing much.
It's kind of like it didn't want to take risks, and I feel like if it had, then maybe it would have paid off for
It kind
it.
of it did. It, speaking of the feeling, like that stuff where I felt like it was really kind of not copying Guardians of the Galaxy, but they were kind of, I feel like they were trying to appease the James Gunn master of like, look, it's kind of like Guardians of the Galaxy, where it's fun and in space and it's strange and they have things, you know, like including what's his name, Matthias Schoenaerts, who was the main villain of Krem. Which is a terrible, terrible name for a villain. You don't
De la
call,
creme.
Yeah, they
yeah.
called him Cream at some point.
And he's someone who's a brigand. And like in Guardians of the Galaxy, we had the Ravagers. Or, you know, and it's just kind of like, oh, these look pretty much exactly the same, like
Very
Control C, Control
copy-paste.
V.
Yeah.
And also the character in the comic book looks nothing like that.
No, one of the great
Like,
things about the comic book is it gives a real big John Carter of Mars vibe. Like the people who did the classic Vallejo kind of artist and the those kind of drawings.
yeah, ginger erasure. Krem is a normal looking dude with ginger hair and a beard. Like there's none of that piercings, there's none of that fucking leather daddy look.
No.
It's he the fact that he does what he does is what makes him scary. He and also in the
Whereas
comic he's a brigand, which means he's sort of a gentleman robber, a, you know, someone who's doing something but also trying to do it with style. And in this, I don't think there was any style. It's just like, oh, he's evil because he's got face spikes. Like, he's evil because he likes to eat. He walks into every scene and steals somebody's food.
Yeah, which is just strange. But yeah. I mean, you know, is it fun? It's kind of fun. I don't know. And the ending, oh boy. Different kind of ending.
Yeah, well, yeah. We'll talk about that in spoilery bits, shall we? Any other points that we need to make before we kind of dive into like a rating and then some spoilers?
I think I'm good.
I thought Eve Ridley did well as Ruthie. Like she was doing a good job with what they had. Good. I liked seeing some of the alien stuff, and I liked seeing some of the history of Krypton. I like that they added a little bit of friction there, which is the brother, like Jor-El's brother, who is the father of Kara Zor-El.
Zor-El.
I'm trying to remember all these names, man. I have enough trouble remembering actual people's names. Like they didn't really get along.
Well, I mean, I love that there's that thing where Zor-El at one point's like, well, there goes that little kid who's been set up to be a fucking dictator. My brother's a weirdo. And I did, somebody asked the question of like, this is a real but why question and very, very nitpicky, but by the time that Kara got there, speaking Kryptonian, she would have been able to translate the message from his parents.
And tell him exactly what he was saying. It's like, oh.
Though,
just the little holes, little nits.
Yeah, the little things that if you think about it too hard, and somebody else was like, oh, no, that was like the unlocked part of the message was later, and I'm like, I don't know. But at the same time, she may have rocked up and gone, well, at least you're not a weird fucking dictator, so I guess maybe I'll just leave you be.
Maybe she turned up, she heard it, and she was like, he's like, what's it say? And she's like, I don't know, it's a weird dialect. Because he's all standing there sweet and being like, oh, yeah, Jiminy Cricket, I love
it. Yeah, maybe she didn't want to break his heart.
Yeah, he's like looking at him going,
Earth is fantastic, and I'm here to help people. And she's like, whoa, well, you know what?
You do you, buddy. I'm going to go over here and drink.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, no, this one's corrupted.
Yeah. Oh, no.
She's probably the one that broke it.
Yeah, she's just scratching the crystal up, so it just keeps skipping.
I like this version of the story.
Any ratings we got coming up for anyone?
There are a couple of questions also just from the chat. Where are our vibes at? I think we're at that. But is it worth seeing on the big screen?
Meh.
I mean, I can't see any.
We saw it on a very big screen.
Yeah.
You saw it on the biggest of screens.
You know what I'm going to say? Much like Lobo, not very necessary. Like, will you enjoy yourself? Yes, you'll enjoy seeing it, but is it absolutely necessary? No.
I don't even know if it was filmed for IMAX Adski.
No.
Didn't feel like it.
Pete, your thoughts?
If you want to see a movie because seeing movies is fun, then like totally. If dropping the $30 that it's going to cost to see the movie is going to stretch you, you can wait.
If you really want to watch a movie about people flying around in space, go for it.
Yes, if you need to be economically responsible, then we will not convince you to go to the cinema.
No. And the more times that you see it, it's not necessarily going to help its box office, and it's not like you're letting down women in film or anything like that.
Oh, no, the men made plenty of money.
Mm. Yep. Right. Okay. Let's make some ratings here. I've seen a couple in the chat. So
Look, I'm going to give it a 70. Straight out of the gate.
Okay.
It was fine. Like, I mean, all in all, the story's very good. It's based on a really good comic. I hope that the film encourages people to go and read the comic. And at our screening, they gave us a comic, which has all the beautiful art in it and actually a stronger story with no Lobo.
Right. Jill?
Ugh. I don't know how cruel I want to be. I know that, like, the first thing I said was Supergirl was super boring. I think I'll just have to stick with that. Oh, I'm just going to 58. Give it a 60, but I don't want to give it a 55.
I feel that. I feel that very clearly. Pete, numerize me.
Oh, I'm a little bit torn because I would probably would have given it a 70, but then I said that I felt like Superman was a slightly more cohesive film that had less fewer things that annoyed me in it, and I gave that a 70, and then I said I would hold them to the same yardstick. So now I don't know what to do.
I mean, you can be a fickle person. You're allowed.
Well, all of my ratings are fickle and I don't keep track of them, and they're not based on anything except for how I feel in the moment. Look, I would say, like, yeah, look, the Lobo thing I found irritating and drew the attention from the female leads who I work, who I was enjoying. But I don't think it's just, like, as a film, I don't think it's as big a feminist fail as, say, the second Wonder Woman film, you know, like from like a feminist cinema point of view, it didn't crash and burn as hard as it possibly could have. And genuinely,
and it's no Madame Web.
I would watch another Supergirl film starring Millie Alcock. Like, I'd happily jump on another ride to see how it goes. I would like to do 69 because that's like weird.
Six,
68 feels to
six,
me.
Six, 6'7 there.
Oh, yeah, 6'7.
I think I'll have to. No, I'll just go 70.
70. There you go.
Fine. Right. We got there.
Genuinely, like, my first response when you guys asked me was like, I was entertained.
Yeah.
And
that's
all I wanted.
Yeah.
Not very good critique, but that's all I wanted. I think there were enough good things about it and few enough things to make me mad that I feel like I can put it on the same level as the Superman film.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go a little lower than Superman because I think I enjoyed Superman more. It was a little more rollicking. It was a little bit more kind of just a more fun kind of story, and I felt like the shape of it was a little better. This, to me, really failed to get up to speed. And I didn't get the emotional beats and I didn't get I really didn't feel much about this film. I enjoyed her performances. I enjoyed Melly's performance. I enjoyed a lot of the performances. Didn't get into the film. So for me, I'm sitting a little bit closer to 60. I think I'm just a straight 60. I wanted to like it a lot more, but there's a lot that it doesn't need to have in it.
All right.
God damn it. No, I'm revising mine to 68. Sorry. Not a 70. It's not a 70. Lobo annoyed me too much.
Do I hear a 65?
Going once.
The sliding scale is sliding. All right, let's go to a clip and then we'll come back and do a spoilery section. How's that sound?
We will.
Yay. Right.
Do you have any information on the brigands?
That sort of information is going to cost you.
I'll tell you what. I'll arm wrestle you for her. Seriously, you win and you can have us both. I win. And you can tell us where the brigands are.
Deal.
Deal. Does not look like this is gonna end well for you guys. I mean, anybody want to leave? No? Okay, we can sit down over there. Keep playing. You know, it's like the Titanic. Yeah. Okay, boys. Fingers on triggers. Yeah? Okay, let's go.
There we start a bar fight the Kara Zor-El way.
They're literally just saying while that playing is like, you know, a fight sequence like that in a bar in a lot of other films would have been an opportunity for a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yet they sometimes, some of the directorial decisions are strange because like they decided to play that bar fight out by just focusing on Ruthie and then the rest of it's all happening in like, you know, out of focus in the back. And you're like, well, that's boring. I want to see the bar fight. And I'm
pretty sure I've seen that in other films. And even when they do it that way, they somehow make it comedic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunately, this is just pretty flat.
Yeah, it's a little bit flat. Oh, one thing I hadn't mentioned I realised is that we're talking about the Australian connection, and I know that we all have Millie Alcock in there, but the director is also, I mean, is he Australian? Just because he was born in Australia and then left when he was 19 and has been living in America ever since, does that make him Australian or does it make him kind of Australian?
I mean, you don't even have to be born in Australia and we will take you, so I think...
Yeah,
but being born here means you are.
But we've been trying to return Mel Gibson for years. and Russell Crowe.
Yeah. But we still want Sam Neill.
Yeah, no, happy, like, you know, we'll give you a Mel Gibson and a Russell Crowe for a Sam Neill.
and New Zealand's like, fuck you.
Yeah. And
we like Sam.
And everyone from Crowder's House and Split Ends. We'll take them too. Yeah. I know.
There you go. I love it. Like Karina is onto us already.
Yeah. We're fine.
Okay.
All right.
Spoilery section. So if you are thinking of going and watching the film, you know, maybe go and do something else for the next however long because we're about to talk about it.
If there's enjoyment to be had, this is going to probably kill all of that.
Yeah. We're going to really pull
apart. If we've got anything to say about it.
Firstly, can I just say, I think the crypto sucks.
The dog doesn't even do anything.
I know, but I mean, there is like, I mean, I like the idea of the dog. Crypto is an interesting character to include in your stuff, but I get too much Uncanny Valley from the completely CGI dog, and that makes me go.
Well, didn't they just rip off the fucking Snowy from Tintin CGI and put it into this one?
Yeah. Oh, hey. Probably they would have saved money somewhere.
I like sequences with him in there. I love when he's just beating the shit out of Superman and stuff like that. I enjoy that. But yeah, like he's one of those things where he probably needs to be there for limited time.
Yeah. And considering he's like an emotional meaning in beats throughout this film, it just makes it even more annoying when you're like, I'm really worried about crypto. No, I'm not. Because the dog's not real. I don't give a shit about the dog. If the dog dies, they'll just revert to the old version and then he'll come back.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Control Z.
Anyway. Right. Okay. So what else, spoilery-wise, trying to think of what really... So there's a lot of questions about like whether or not Ruthie... there's this whole discussion about whether or not she killed somebody earlier in the film, even though there's the thing that, oh, no, don't kill him. Don't kill him. It'll ruin you forever. Yeah. But then when she's in the prison cell, like pretty sure she kills a guard by sticking a thing up through his neck. It's like.
Yeah.
And the whole story, the thing about it is that Kara decides she's going to try and protect Ruthie so she keeps her innocence going and like all these kinds of things while trying to provide a good role model. And this is where it deviates from the comic, which makes me so annoyed because quite literally the scriptwriter didn't need to deviate from the comic. So in the film, what happens is Kara convinces Ruthie to not stab Krem or kill him, to go about her life, to have your revenge by living and doing better and all that sort of stuff. And then she turns around and fucking stabs him. All right? Completely undercuts everything. I'll just compare that to the comic, where she does not do that. She puts him in the negative zone.
And then
there's a epilogue where she goes back and gets him out of the negative zone after he's served his time and he's repentant. And apologizes.
Yeah, I mean, aren't all of these heroes supposed to be goody-goodies and not murderous?
But so, you see, this is so sick of Dark Reboot.
It's really really, really kind of strange that like they would go there with Kara.
If you get a prison,
she's supposed to be like, you know, little ray of sunshine. Like, why is she straight up fucking murdering people?
Yeah, if you're gonna pick an anti-hero, pick a different one.
Yeah.
I mean, why make
like have Lobo do that if you want to fucking have somebody, you know?
Yeah.
My weird thing was, why did we need Lobo's approval at the end? what the fuck was that?
Because it was written in,
like he's barely even had a conversation with it. Like I didn't really get that.
Yeah, because she just wants to be cool, Lobo's biker girlfriend. I don't know. who knows?
And she doesn't even know she's got Lobo's. Just we know that she's got Lobo's approval. And why do we care about that? And why does he care? I don't understand.
And why does his approval matter?
Yeah.
My big real bugbear for this was like there's a lot of usage of Red Sun, you know, depowers, Yellow Sun powers her up, and that's like that's fine. That's you know, historically.
A Yellow Sun is not kryptonite.
No.
I mean, sorry, a green but, sun.
Yeah, but then they enter this fucking thing with a green sun.
Yeah. Oh no, orbiting, it's green.
And you're like,
It's doing the kryptonite thing because the sun's green. I'm like, that's not how it works.
Yeah.
I was really confused by that as well because, like, we learned that, like, kryptonite is a mineral that's come out of the planet and then suddenly it's a sun. And I was like, I don't understand. And also, how do all of the brigands know about kryptonite
if there's only two universe's left?
Worst kept secret.
Like, there's two Kryptonians left. All of the other ones, I presume, are kind of like floating around on a dead fragment of a planet.
And
now,
like the whole thing with kryptonite is that it like fell to Earth when Krypton exploded. Like,
yeah,
when
there was
Superman
very little
crash
of it.
Landed, and that's how people on Earth, namely Lex Luthor, found it and use it against Superman. So it seems to be like, oh, now it's the galaxy's worst kept secret. The fucking kryptonite is going to kill only two people that live in this galaxy.
Like,
how
do the brigands know about this? Yes. And how does he know enough about it that he's already he's already generated kryptonite weapons?
Also the thing that they're very smart about, like setting a trap for her on the planet
the green sun
that has the green sun that comes up, and then they just go, thank God the green sun's up. Anyway, we're not going to think about the fact that that's how sunrises work.
And
that, this planet has two suns and one is yellow, so she's only going to be out of commission for half the day.
Or should the brigands have not set their fucking flying battle fortress ship up in a perpetual green sun bit around the planet? So it's like she would have been standing there going, fuck, I can't get over there to rescue anyone because they're in the green bit and I'll die. Anyway, but that would be thinking. No, we'll just wait for the sun to come up and the sun will come up tomorrow.
Casper says in the movie they didn't cover that Superman was on that planet before it was designed to kill him. It sounds like that's something from the comic, and no, they didn't cover that.
Nope, we were just confused.
It was just a green sun and it was confusing with the whole kryptonite thing.
But like, you know what? Thankfully Lobo was there.
Yeah.
To do absolutely nothing.
I did laugh though, because there are a couple of moments, and every now and then I'm amused by how completely kitchen sink some stuff is. Like there's a point where Kara's mum is getting sick, and has, you know, pretty serious radiation poisoning, and she's, you know, lying in bed and throwing up, and you could very clearly hear that her sick bucket was plastic. And I just was like, I'm so glad that sick buckets of plastic everywhere in the universe. Like
it was just an old ice cream bucket.
It was. I was just like, yes.
Yep.
That kind of thing.
Everyone's got that one bowl.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the one that you give to the kids when they're feeling a bit sick.
Yeah.
And it's probably Tupperware.
No, it's the old Neapolitan 4-liter ice cream container.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yeah. Anyway. What is Kryptonian Neapolitan? I want to know.
we've gone off. What are some of the other plot points or bits in that film where you're like that gave you umbrage? No.
I think it's kind of all been covered.
It's all been covered.
The need for the super suit.
Oh my god, wait, can I talk about that strawberry flavored condom that Ruthie had to wear throughout like half the movie?
What was that about?
I think that was actually a kind of a direct riff from the comic. I think it is in the comic. Okay. She's got the bulbous suit.
Because it really felt like something out of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
Yeah. Oh, I also love the fact that Ruthie's father is a famous like swordsmith that makes all these great weapons. And the only one we see is just the one. Like literally those brigands went and raided the storage container full of amazing weaponry. And was anyone using it? Didn't look like anyone had a special sword or anything. Like, not
do
like
you
a
think
sword.
Maybe he might have had some of those swords around his house? No. Just
Dion,
one sword.
That was just to make the plot happen.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
just like fridging the dog.
Like having a sunrise around the planet.
Hey.
Oh god!
Which I really tried. Shit. I tried to physics that in my head. No, as she like,
was
floating in
away.
Orbit.
She was they're floating away. She was going to the dark side of the planet, and then that fucking sun came around. I'm like, nah,
nah.
That was the first 20 minutes. I was out. I'm like, there was a point where I'm like, I could just go home right now.
Yeah. Actually, I gotta say, I was very impressed by the painterly way that they represented Supergirl when she was kind of using all of her powers, you know, hairs flying around, heat vision beams. Although I was like, oh, this really works. I think this is definitely a Supergirl.
Mm.
It looked good.
I just remember the knit that really broke it for me.
Yeah. Okay.
Like the knit that broke the camel's
the
back.
The camel.
Was that I love that they get like there's no sound in a vacuum when they scream, but there's also no air in a vacuum to take a breath after you scream. Because she's always kind of looking like she's not breathing when she's up there in the vacuum until that scream where she does a big dramatic scream and then takes a big dramatic couple of breaths afterwards. I'm like, damn it.
Yeah.
But I also would expect something to happen from that, because if Superman or Supergirl got up there and did that scream, some small moon on the side of that planet is just going to evaporate. Why couldn't they have just had that? It's like, oh, they got pissed
also,
off. Shit.
Wait. She can only survive in space if she's been juiced up.
Yeah.
Otherwise, she could have just been flying planet to planet.
But see,
she wouldn't have needed to take the space bus.
Well, that's like the if she can do this, why can't she do this? Like my impression was in a lot of those fight scenes, like, oh, if she can shoot people with her laser eyes, why doesn't she just shoot all of these people with her laser eyes and then the fight is over?
Yeah.
Yes, but then we get things like Homelander or Omni-Man, which is just like, oh, God, they're supremely overpowered and they could eviscerate everyone if they just, like, even decided that they didn't feel
like... But,
like,
in the comics, in the universe, is there a reason where, like, the laser eyes can't just be used to win
everything? Because
they
kill people very quickly.
And
yeah, Peter... Okay, so there's green kryptonite, but Peter, there's also red kryptonite. And the red kryptonite makes Superman go crazy and he will
do
laser eyes, like, all the time.
Okay.
Yeah. So really it's just
so they're
them
just too killy.
Holding themselves back.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's too killy. And, you know, they wanted to do a bunch of like punching and big kicks and stuff like that. And like in that last fight, there are a couple of, you know, bits of choreography that I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. But it was shot like shit.
There was another part in
it
that
was,
fight
like, the
sequence.
The editing was not good.
Oh, Quinny's laggy again. But she had something on a rope that she was swinging around, and then it became a point where the hard thing at the end of the rope that was hitting people was actually being forced by the rope to continue, because the rope was slack.
Yes.
But the hard thing kept spinning. Yeah. I'm like, that's not how centrifugal force works.
Well, they were on the green.
And there was
a
bit of that with Lobo's hook
planet.
Too.
It was the green planet was interfering with it.
Yeah.
Sorry, sun. Green sun.
There was a lot of physics schmizzics, but to be fair, Superman also had a lot of physics schmizzics.
Yeah.
I mean,
ultimately, we've got to remember, these are just cartoons, right?
dog is.
Yeah, well, fuck. It's just, it felt like to me I was watching something, I was really interested in it. I thought there's, you know, the cast is good. It could be, it's based on a good story. I'm really looking forward to seeing it. And then watching everything kind of fall apart and not really work. Because I feel like they could have lent more heavily into a story like, why connect them? I mean, it's fine for Kara to be self-destructive and going on her own little holiday because she's got trauma from losing everyone and she just wants to forget about everything for a little while. That's great. And then she gets to be the sisterly protector. That's fine. But the rest of it was just a bit like, well, why? Oh, because they're, you know, trafficking women.
Yeah, it did suffer from a bit of the and thens.
And you're going to do a serious storyline like that, if you're going to like lean into it, why would you make this a bloodless movie? Mm. You know?
That was also the thing that kind of got me about Ruthie, like her level of capability changed dramatically depending on whether the story needed her to be able to do things. And that became a little distracting as well.
Mm. I kind of half expected there to be a big reveal of her suddenly busting out the swords and fucking demolishing with them.
Yeah.
And being
that big
like
fight
this
scene at the end where she's just kind of standing still for most of it. And she does a couple of little things at the end, but like this would be a great time for Ruthie to go off right now. Because we've seen how capable she is by that stage. But instead she's just kind of standing there looking a bit shocked.
But Peter, that's what we had Lobo for. He's there to do the heavy lifting or grenade throwing or fucking driving around going, I'm Jason Momoa.
Or rescuing.
Rescue. He doesn't even rescue anyone, really.
Well, no, they deliberately tried to make it that he didn't technically rescue, but there is a moment where Supergirl wouldn't have got out of it if he didn't stop it, and that's the one that shit me, because I was like, okay, so he's rescued, not rescued, and that was the one thing that I was hoping that this character was not here to do.
Mm. No, all he needed to do was collect his fucking bounty. Like, collect his bounty, laugh and fuck off. But no, yeah. Yeah, sorry, my internet decided it was going to leave just at the moment where I was making a point about swords.
Oh, it's all right. I interrupted you and just kept talking anyway.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. Like, oh, God, it is definitely one of those films that a lot of people will go and see and they'll do it with the best of intentions because they want to support a female-led superhero and they will all be like, yeah, good. And I'm glad you can feel good for that. But it's not a particularly great film, and I'm sorry.
Yeah. I mean, if one of the good things about this was is the announcement of this led to more comics being made and people devouring that story, and I feel a bit sad because some of the people who devoured that story and then have gone in to try to watch that story may have been like, wait, this isn't, hang on. And That's not quite right. But,
Yeah. You
know, who knows? Thankfully, there's Clayface coming up.
Oh, God.
Which is a full-on horror film based around
things.
Yeah,
that trailer was, like, nothing.
Like, in terms of, like, an overall tone of the universe that I think they're creating up, I'm very confused about where I should be because it's gone, Superman, here's a fun little thing. Few characters you don't know of or haven't really been introduced to, give that a go. Supergirl, bit strange again, but it's a bit Guardians of the Galaxy. And then just full horror. We're going full horror for the third DC film. It's just someone's face who melts off.
Yeah.
You've also got like Peacemaker in there too with like, you know, dick and fart jokes all the way and, you know, body horror. So, yeah.
Yeah, but like Peacemaker weirdly has a lot of emotional depth.
Yeah.
I know.
As you know, I really enjoy Peacemaker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you go into the world where the Nazis won, you're like, hey, wait, what? Oh, dear.
Yeah. The emotional resonance just didn't feel right with this one. Anyway, I mean, we can keep going on about it all night, but we're not going to.
Thank God.
No, we shall not. Yeah, we got to go. Speaking of that.
Well, before we do, there's a couple of things that I do want to say. We want to say thank you to some people who have donated some money, especially one of whom, who may or may not still be in the chat, but was around earlier tonight. From Oz Doz, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Very nice. Thank you also to Casper. He donated last week too.
Yes, thank you very much.
Of course, yes. Thank you, Casper.
Always with the subs.
Always.
Yeah, like the submachine gun that is Casper is just deadly. And we very, very much appreciate you guys. Yes, you do chip in where you can, and it is very, very, very much appreciated.
Very much appreciated.
I also just want to raise a thing that Oz Doz is somebody I've known for a long time, and quite often he will give me his little running review of the podcast he's listening to, namely ours.
Okay.
And quite often it's like, Jill's really on point with this one. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about, Quinny.
that is correct. But I am always right.
Yes, yes. There you go. While he's painting, happily nice. Yelling at the podcast. But he did make a comment just about what we were talking about last week around backrooms and obsession. Mm. And he said the discussion about using your strength and not taking shortcuts was a really good point, that those films, like maybe Hollywood veterans, need to sometimes work within deliberate limits or confines. So, you know, your screenplay is limited to two internal and one external location. You know, do something really tight.
Yeah.
And I think about, like, you know, movies like Cube or Nothing, or, you know, all of those kind of very, very limited films that make you do something interesting.
Yeah. So, one location, two characters are some of my favorite ever indie films because it's like, okay, how are you going to do this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And make it entertaining. Like, I mean, even Phone Booth. You know,
it was a bigger film than that in the end. But yes, that as the concept of that, I loved.
Was it Buried? What was the one that?
Yeah. Ryan Reynolds, yeah, Ryan Buried. Reynolds. Yeah.
Buried. Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah. You can do a lot with very little, but this requires you to have very tight scripting and very well acted and very focused ideas about what you need to capture. We only have this, so nothing can hide. Or we need to figure out what's going to connect people to this very limited thing.
Yeah, and that's going to be emotion, or it's going to be, you know, something very smart, or it's going to be something that, you know, is, yeah, very shocking in a particularly tight way. Like one thing that happens that is, you know, really mind-blowing sort of. Yeah, so, yeah, it was just an interesting point, and I enjoyed that, and I wanted to share it with you guys because it is very nice. Yeah, Moon, absolutely. It is very nice to know that people listen and have opinions.
Sure.
So, Doz, thank you very much for that, and also Kirafea, who wrote in earlier about Supergirl.
Yeah.
If you've seen the films, you know, you're allowed to write in with your opinions. You know, we will probably read them out or something. Or you can send in an audio or whatever.
Yeah. Do whatever you want. Contact us in some way. Make a comment.
Yes.
Do all that. Yes. And look forward to July. It's July tomorrow.
My gosh.
In July, peas grow there.
Halfway through the year already. Yeah, so that's right. Next Tuesday. That's right. We're talking tax returns. That's right. Everyone's going to come on here for
Jesus
an hour.
Jesus Christ. Do not say the C word. Do not say the T word.
We're going to lodge our returns live on the stream.
Yeah, yeah.
can watch my fucking face as all of the money goes away.
And instead of getting advice from an accountant, it's you, chat. We're going to ask you what
Can I claim it?
Yeah.
Should I claim it?
Should I? Yeah.
Sorry, Peter. I know this must be giving you an aneurysm. Like, wait, what? No.
I was busy just thinking about Lock. I'm still on the one location thought process. Don't worry.
Oh, right. Okay.
Lock, if you haven't seen it, that's a great example.
Next week, though, or the start of July, just for everyone to know, we will not be doing the show on Tuesday because we're going to go see a film.
Films with Tom and Phil's monster.
Yeah, yeah. No, we're going to go see a film on Tuesday, so it's going to be a Wednesday show for the 1st of July.
And what is that show?
Some sort of Deadite-themed thing.
That's what I guess.
Some evil devil.
Yeah. I have to actually watch the last one because I didn't actually watch that Evil Dead.
Evil Dead Rise, was it?
I didn't actually see Rise.
Oh, you didn't?
Not yet.
It was good.
I know.
I liked it.
The reboot of the Evil Dead franchise has been quite good and back to a traditional horror route, you know, much like I'm having right now.
It's no way to talk about your ex. I'm very excited for that. I love a bit of Evil Dead. And then we've got a few other things for July that are coming up, which some of which we've discussed and some of which we haven't really decided on. I know a lot of people are loving Widow's Bay.
Yes.
And that's one that Jill has put forward. There's a lot of other stuff. Though I will say, like, we've kind of hit that end of the summer point for big films, really. We've got, what, Spider-Man left, and that's about it?
Yeah, but that's at the end of next month, so we probably can't even talk about that
Spider-Man
yet.
Won't be until August.
Damn.
Karina says the Bear finale has dropped.
I haven't even watched last
final
season.
Season.
Oh, I haven't seen the Gary thing either.
Oh, yeah, me either.
Look, if we get caught, I do know that I have finally joined the ranks of the Dungeon Crawler Carl.
Please look upon our faces with great joy as we Dion has finally succumbed.
And everyone here has been there before me, I know, but we could quite easily smash out a review of that.
Oh, Tari, Vox Machina, far out. I finished it on the weekend and I was like,
I watched the last three episodes.
How dare they just end there and not give us more? Like, come on. It was 10 episodes, but it went by like that.
Mm-hmm. 12, actually, but yes.
Oh, 12, sorry.
Yeah, but, yeah, like, still. Those seasons go so quickly. Mm. And, like, when you're sort of coming up to what you know, because the last season is going to be the last season. Oh. Yeah, okay. Like five seasons and then they're done.
Is that, like, the end of the campaign?
Yep.
Gotcha.
Yeah, right. And it's like, nah.
I see.
I gotta say,
and we'll probably get some Mighty Nine between now and then. But I mean, there was some great shit in there from like campaign three of Critical Role that I was like, oh, look at you bringing in characters. Karina says the Odyssey big July release. See whether we get tickets.
Is it though?
Yeah.
I don't know. I've been watching some of it.
I'm like, oh my God, the Odyssey. I'm like, I just can't. There's something about it that just feels so on the nose. Like real, like, you know when you kind of go online and you have people like doing their fan cast for something and they pick every fucking A-list celebrity that you can think of, whether it suits that character or not. This is what that movie stinks of.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm going in with animosity.
Look, I've got faith in Nolan, but do you know what movie I'm getting vibes for of?
Nolan.
Aronofsky's Noah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Do you remember that
Speaking
one?
Speaking of Rusty.
Does everyone forget? Do you remember that one? Did everyone see that one?
I think I did watch it.
Yeah, Darren Aronofsky's Noah, where he just took it as like, oh, I'm just going to make up my own kind of thing. It's based on characters from a book. And I'm like, well done you. That's a brave, brave attempt to go. But it's a little weird.
Yeah, I don't remember
like,
there being
dark and gritty Bible. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
And as can somebody we bring with no some faith in Nolan, I'm with Jill.
Yeah. You know what? I just hope that at one point we get to see Guy Pearce turn up and it turns out it's just a low-key Memento prequel. And he tells it as an unreliable narrator. You're like, God damn it.
Oh my gosh. Speaking of unreliable narrators, I am watching season 3 of Interview with the Vampire, which has been retitled The Vampire Lestat, and it is so fucking good.
Okay.
So fucking
well,
good.
That's something we may have to look at. But yeah. I also realize I haven't watched season 1 or 2 of that.
Okay. Well, you need to do that.
Right.
It's very good. And now season 3 is so, so fucking good. Uh-huh. Like, I'm leaving you all next week to go see Sam Reed. He's here doing a play. And I know he's not Lestat, but I'm going to go get my care. Sam Reed fix next week. But he is just so incredible. And this season is great. Because like the first two is based off Interview with the Vampire. So it's all from like Louis' perspective. You're getting his telling of the side of the story.
Yeah.
And now we're getting like Lestat's version. And
I've been loving the memes of it, which are just pictures of Lestat and the super on it is always like, who is she? Who is this gorgeous goddess? It's like, oh shit, it's a vampire.
Yeah. Also, the music is great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think we're going to get like a Akasha reveal at the end of the season. Like, we're going to go into, like, Queen of the Damned, I'm hoping.
Oh, look, I really appreciate that. If it does, like, two seasons Interview with a Vampire, two seasons Vampire Lestat, two seasons of Queen of the Damned. That sounds good.
But these showrunners are doing a really good job, and the actors are incredible. It's been really good.
And it's getting good press. That's good.
Yeah. Nice. Very exciting. All right.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks for
Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for coming back, Pete. Stop working 700 hours a week.
Yeah, I'm going to go back to it now for a bit.
Oh, good day.
See you soon.
Thanks, everyone in the chat for joining us and chipping in. Please tell us, what do you want to say? Oh, yeah, actually, we forgot to say. Any suggestions? We've got our own ideas what we're going to come up with. But if you've got something for us, let us know.
Let us know. Great to have you all in the chat tonight.
Yeah.
Busy chat. Good chat. We like you guys.
Yeah. All right, then. We'll see you all
later.
Enjoy
the rest of your week.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Periodic Table podcast. If you have comments, feedback, or suggestions, email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. From our website, you can find our Instagram, Twitter, Threads, YouTube, and Facebook links. You can join in the show live on Twitch, usually on Tuesday nights, but sometimes it moves. Until next time, stay awesome.